Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, here to help you build and rewire your fitness mindset. Yeah, I'm not sure if I like that introduction. I'm fucking around with some new introductions and like taglines ahead of the new year. I'm going to listen back to that because I'm recording this a few days in advance and having it in the bank for the 16th of, today's the 16th of December, and I'm recording it on Wednesday the 4th of December because of the pre-Christmas rush. I would imagine you're very similar listening to this podcast where you're trying to get work deadlines done, you're trying to get the Christmas shopping in, and you're in that like mode where you're like, do I shut down for Christmas and go into full Christmas mode, or do I like push on through and fucking pedal to the metal? Fuck it, you go faster and you get everything done in the lead up into Christmas. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm in that like kind of limbo at the minute. So today is the 4th of December. Today's episode is going to be a mindset Q&A, which is down to the request of people messaging me on Instagram, either through my Instagram story Q&A Monday to Friday or through DMs asking about another mindset Q&A episode. So on the back of last year, I did quite a few of these mindset Q&A topics where I just got people sending questions on mindset and I tried to answer them the best way that I could on the podcast. So today's episode is going to be focused around that, but it also comes in alignment with my new book, which is all about mindset, which is called Rewire Your Mindset, Own It, Control It, Change It. And I'm recording this on the 4th of December, about a week and a half before it goes live. It's going to be released. Today is the 16th of December when you're listening. So ahead of the Christmas rush, I'm getting this podcast recording and in the bank. And the book actually comes out tomorrow, the 5th of December. So if you're listening to this, you may already have your copy. If you want to get your copy or you want to get the book, you can click the link in the description. I'll link the Amazon link in the description. That is where it's available right now in the new year. Hopefully it'll be in some selected bookstores and there'll be other places you can get it. And in early 2020, I will be recording the audiobook version of it. But for now, if you want to get it for your Christmas stocking or you want to get it just to consume or read over the Christmas period while you're on your break, you can click the link in the description and check it out. So I'm really excited for that. I'm like trying to hide my excitement because it's tomorrow. And I'm aware that like when this episode goes out, the book will be out for like a week and a half. So anyways, that is kind of the reason for today's podcast, because it ties in with both the request of covering another episode like this, but also with the release of the new book. So those topics are so top of mind at the minute. Also my Rewire Your Mindset seminar on the 11th of January in Dublin. I'm very, very heavy into this space at the minute. So a podcast makes perfect sense. And hopefully I'll be able to try and provide value on the questions that I'm answering. So without further ado, here's today's solo episode Q&A on mindset. So first question, nice little introductory question. Is your new book similar to the mindset part of the fitness mindset? So my first book, The Fitness Mindset, for those of you who have read it or listened to it on Audible, you know it's broken into two sections. So the entire first section is on fitness, training, nutrition, supplementation, sleep, etc. Everything that you need to get in great shape. And then the second section is on mindset. So everything that you need to stay in great shape, you know, caring about what other people think, making sure that you're setting your goals the correct way, getting the habits and the compound effect and letting that kick in over time, getting your mindset right so that when times get difficult, you're able to handle it, setting a why so that you can achieve and get up and get the workouts in the morning or get the meals in even when you don't feel like it because you've got a bigger why to why you're doing it. So that was the entire philosophy of the entire first book. And Rewire Your Mindset is a build on that. So if you've read The Fitness Mindset and you enjoyed the mindset section of that book, you are going to love the new book, Rewire Your Mindset. Now, again, paradoxically, on the other side of that, if you read The Fitness Mindset and loved the fitness section and weren't so into the mindset, I'd probably give the new book a miss because it's very heavily focused on the mindset. But if you did enjoy that section, the new book is expanding and building heavily on all those ideas and topics from that first book. And one of my favorite authors is Nassim Nicholas Taleb, who is an economics writer. He wrote The Black Swan, Fooled by Randomness, Anti-Fragile. And one of his theories and principles on his books, he calls them the incerto, is he's got one idea that he's constantly building on. And every book, if you read it every 2-3 years when he releases a new book, is just an expansion of the original idea. And that's kind of how I feel about Rewire Your Mindset. It's like an expanded version and a fleshed out version and a more practical version of the mindset section of my first book, The Fitness Mindset. And for those of you who've already read it, or those of you who've already picked it up, you'll see that common trend. It's a lot more detailed because it's a bigger book and there's a lot more in it. And it's designed similarly to The Fitness Mindset, where you can read it in its entirety and there's overlapping threads where it's a narrative story throughout. But you could also just pick up and read the chapters that are the most applicable to you, and it would also make sense. I tried to write it that way. It's why it took me so long. I started writing The Rewire Your Mindset 18 months ago. So it's been 18 months from start to completion. And because I kept going back and re-editing it so that it would read that way. So there would be a narrative thread from start to finish for those of you who consume the book in a linear way. But also, if you wanted to jump in and out of chapters, you could do that. If you struggle with rewiring failure, or you struggle with self-sabotage, or you struggle with confidence, you could jump straight to that chapter and you'd get all the practical tips and everything you needed from that. So it's very, very similar in that sense. That's actually one of the recommendations that I'm offering people, because I'm a big believer, and to my own detriment at times, probably my honesty to my own detriment at times, I'm a big believer that not everybody should read my new book, the same way as the people who will benefit from it should definitely read my new book. Like, if I said, as I mentioned earlier, if you read The Fitness Mindset and connected with the fitness message and you're like, the mindset stuff, I could take or leave it, I wouldn't read my new book at all. But if you connect with the podcast episodes that are mindset related, or you read The Fitness Mindset and loved the mindset section, I would 100% pick up my new book. Either pick it up, get it from Amazon, download an ebook, borrow it from a friend, get it from a family member, whatever way to consume it that could potentially help you and serve you and move whatever area of your life you're struggling with and potentially move that forward. I would highly, highly recommend it. You know, I'm fucking probably going to shoot myself in the foot now. Like, I feel like when Marcus Smith was on the podcast, he was on a few days before he did his 24-hour run around a track where he was trying to cover 200 kilometers, and he's like, I'm going to sound like a fucking idiot if I don't get this done. And that's kind of how I feel about the book, because it's coming out tomorrow, and you know, it might come out and people be like, no, it's not that good. But it's probably one of the proudest things that I am. It's definitely one of the pieces of work, book, podcast related, speaking, that I've put the most time, energy and effort in, and there's nothing I would change in it. It's again very much down to controlling the controllable. You know, I'm saying this literally the day before it goes out. So whether it shoots into the bestseller list and does amazing, or it completely flops and dies, I can honestly say there's nothing else I would have changed in that book, that it's exactly where I wanted to be. And now it's out of my control. You know, people will regularly ask me, particularly this time of year, because of my podcast schedule and my interview schedule, because of promotion for the book, they'd be like, you know, do you want to do this, that, or the other? I'm like, well, it's out of my control now. I was like, I have no control how people perceive it. I have no control at this stage. All I could do was in the creation and the writing process was make sure this is the most valuable thing that you've ever created. Make sure that you're speaking to the people and providing practical tips and solutions for problems that you know people have that you have answers to. And I constantly came back to that. It's why I had 12 final edits on the book, because I kept taking things out. I kept adding in solutions that I thought were more practical and feasible to add in. And I kept doing that until the end, where the book got to the point when it was finished, I'm like, there's nothing else I would do with this. So now, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword. You might be listening to this on the 16th of December and the book is fucking dead and sold 3 copies. Thanks, Mum. And it could be at that stage. But I'm also on the other side that if it does amazing and hits the bestseller list similar to the first book and sells multiple thousands of copies to people and it helps improve their lives in a positive way, then again, I'm also going to be delighted with that. But I can't control it now. You know, I tend to eat my own medicine or drink my own medicine in the worry about things that are within your control. And the book writing process, everything to do with that was in my control. I could constantly go back and try and improve it and make the narrative stronger, make the isolated sections more comprehensible so that the practical tips and solutions were there and they were very easy to immediately put into your life so that you could improve it in a positive way. And all of that I kept coming back to and was in my control. Now that it's out there, it's out of my control. So it's out of my hands now. So to cut a long story short, the mindset section is very similar to the fitness mindset. It's also very similar to the mindset episodes of this podcast. So more than any other group, even my Instagram, my Facebook, my Snapchat, my TikTok, any of those other profiles, more so than any other, the podcast are the people who I think will connect most with the new book, because I used my most popular episodes of the podcast to help guide what direction it went. So worrying about what people think about you, how to stop caring what people think, dealing with mental health issues, self-imposed anxiety, you know, building mental toughness, you know, rewiring failure, making sure that you're not having your own biggest enemy live between your two ears. That's the entire premise of the book. So I can at least comfortably say to the people listening to this podcast who enjoy the mindset episodes, you'll get a lot from the new book. So maybe check it out, borrow it from a friend, pick it up on Amazon, pick it up wherever you want. And if you think it will benefit you, definitely check it out and be sure to let me know how you find it. Next question. Best advice for somebody who feels stuck in life. So this has been coming in very frequently through my social media recently, a lot more from my younger audience. But ironically, it's coming from either a very young audience, so 18 to 22 year olds for the most part, or people on the older end of my spectrum or segment on my Instagram, people 40 years plus. Because I can understand 100% where it's coming from. When you're in that 18, 19, 20 to 21, 22-year-old bracket, you don't have a lot of tools in your arsenal to know how to handle situations when they come, and I'll touch on that as well. And also for people that are 40, 45 plus, you can reinforce the stuck feeling for so long that it becomes a belief system that you hold that's very difficult to change. Something that I speak about quite a lot on this podcast and new book at my seminars, etc., is that like beliefs are very, they're very much like seeds in the ground. Like if you tell yourself that you're stuck, it's like a seed in the ground. If that's relatively new, it's easy to dig up a seed. But if you leave that for 20 years and it grows into an oak tree, it's a lot harder to dig up. And it's not that you can't, like you can totally knock an oak tree, like, but the way you knock an oak tree is to hit an oak tree 1,000 times in the exact same spot. And the mistake people make is they hit the fucking oak tree in 1,000 different spots. They're doing 1,000 different things, trying to get their life back in order, trying to get their weight back in order, trying to get the job they want, etc., where that's not the way you hit success. The way you knock a fucking oak tree is to hit it 1,000 times in the exact same spot, which means that you get clear on what your end goal is and what you want to do, and you keep fucking hammering that until you get there. You know, you're consistently hitting that target, and if you fail, you get back up. If you fail, you get back up, and you try a different strategy, but you keep working towards the same end goal. And that feeling of being stuck on both ends of those spectrum, and everyone in between that's in a similar position, is just a story you've told yourself. Realize that all those feelings of I'm stuck in life, I'm stuck in a job, I'm stuck in a relationship, I'm stuck with my health, I'm stuck with the weight, I'm stuck with the body and the way it is, it's like they're all self-imposed prisons that you've created. They're all stories that you've told yourself. And if you tell yourself a story long enough, it becomes a belief. You know, that's the problem with stories. They're fucking very compelling. And if you consistently tell yourself you're stuck, then that becomes your reality. So the first thing to understand is if you want to get out of an area and you feel like you're stuck, realize that all it is a story that you've told yourself over and over again. And that, yeah, it's true that you may not have the tools to get out of it right now, but you can acquire those tools. So the advice I generally offer people when they give me this feeling of or a description of feeling stuck is that's cool. You might feel like you're stuck right now. That's just feedback. You know, failure isn't an end product. Failure is feedback. And feeling stuck is like a micro failure. And all that failure gives you is feedback that you don't yet and you haven't yet acquired the tools to handle the situation that you're in. That's fucking fine, because you can acquire the tools that will move you into the next direction of your life and break you through that glass ceiling. So without context of knowing what, you know, the expansion on this question on what you mean by stuck, but in most cases, from my experience, it tends to be people think they're in a relationship, but they're stuck in, they're in a job that they're stuck in, they're in a body that they're stuck in, and they're just not happy and feeling unfulfilled in some area of their life. My answer to that is, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with feeling stuck and realizing that you're not where you want to be. Sometimes realizing where you're not, where you don't want to be, is as important as where you actually are going, because you can take full ownership of that and you can take full responsibility for, I'm not happy with where I am. And when you own that and take responsibility for it, now it's back in your control and you can choose to change it. But you also have to acquire new tools. You know, like if you're trying to hammer in a fucking nail, it makes more sense to have a hammer in your fucking arsenal that you can hammer in a nail. You can use a screwdriver, but it's going to take you so much longer. And acquiring tools to get out of that position where you're feeling stuck is exactly the same. And in this context, to keep the metaphor, the tools are the podcast you listen to, the books you read, the people you follow online. They are all conditioning your mind to think a certain way. And if you get one or two golden nuggets to help you get out of that feeling of being stuck, or to help that help get you unstuck, that's what you need to do moving forward. And then it's about just applying the action steps. One of the things I spoke about in my first book, The Fitness Mindset, was the difference between the things you know, the things you don't know, and the things you don't know you don't know. And the things you know are obvious. You know, they're the things that you know, you believe, you're like, yeah, I have information on this, I know how to handle that. The things you don't know are pretty decent as well. It's like, okay, I don't know how to get unstuck in life, but I can go find somebody who can help me. It's the things that you don't know that can really fuck you. They're the things that are happening on life on autopilot. Like, that's when people, you know, if you've been eating shit food for 5 years and then look back at a picture from 5 years ago and you're like, oh my God, I'm 20 pounds heavier. It's like, that's because you haven't thought consciously about a food choice in 5 years. That's fine, but realize that that's what happens when life goes on autopilot and not bringing conscious awareness to the decisions that you're currently making. And if you're feeling stuck, you're already in that position of you don't know how to get out of it, but you're not in the place where you don't even realize it's happening yet. So the person that sent in this question, if you realize that there's a problem in your life, in your relationship, in your body, in your job, now you have to just consume the information that's going to help get you out of that. When I read books, when I listen to podcasts, when I follow people on social media, I'm always looking for what I call golden nuggets, particularly in the books I read. It's one of the reasons that I read so widely, is because I'm looking for golden nuggets in those books, meaning that, and I spoke about this in my new book, The Rewire Your Mindset, and there's a book list of some of my personal favorites in there. And one of the things that I look for is golden nuggets, that if I read this book or listen to this book, and I get one golden nugget that can help move one of my four quadrants in my life forward, I break my life into four quadrants: health, wealth, love, and fulfillment. And if it can move one of those four quadrants forward in a positive way, this book was totally worth the read. And some books will give you way more than that. You know, one of my goals for my Rewire Your Mindset book, similar to the first book, The Fitness Mindset, was I want to get people to get several golden nuggets through this book. And hopefully if you reread it in a year's time, you'll be picking up different golden nuggets, because your life will be in a different point right now. You'll have different problems that need different solutions, and different things will connect. It's one of the reasons I reread my favorite books, because as your life moves forward, a book that's an amazing tool to have, you're going to connect with a different chapter, a different section, because you now have different problems. Because problems in life don't go away, you just get better problems. You get more tools as you go along. That's why anyone that's 18, 19, 20, 21, problems can feel overwhelming at that age, because you haven't acquired a toolkit over the years of trial and error, different things that can potentially make you stronger and help push you past any sticking points. The other flip side of that is people that are in their 40s and 45s that have lived life on autopilot for so many years, they just never even thought about it. And now they're at a place where they're like, fuck, I'm 20 pounds overweight, or fuck, I'm in a relationship I hate, or fuck, I absolutely despise my job and my boss. That's from not having thought about it for 10 years prior. That's not a problem either. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, you're not a fucking tree. If you don't like where you are, you can move. It just means that you might need to consume new information. You might need to consume different podcasts. You might need to read different books. You might need to get those tools and those golden nuggets from somewhere. But best piece of advice for someone that's feeling stuck in life, and if you're in that position right now where you're feeling stuck in any area, realize that you're not really stuck. You just haven't got the tools to move you to the next level right now. And I'm also a big believer that all those glass ceilings make you stronger. Like, every time you feel stuck, like, I always think of it, this fucking sounds so psychotic, but I always think of it like a part of you dies. You know, a small part of you, that's always my analogy. Oh, it sounds so fucking psychotic when I say that. But it's true. It's literally my visualization process when I think about it. Like, every time I ever feel stuck in a business decision, in a relationship, in whatever life choice I'm trying to make, I'm like, that's a weaker version of me. I need to consume the information that's going to help move me past this glass ceiling and break through this glass ceiling, and then I'm going to be fucking stronger out the other side. I'm always reaching for that target self. You're always trying to be the best version of yourself. And I think rewiring the way you see this and realizing that every stuck feeling is a positive thing because there's a better version of you on the other side of that glass ceiling. If you consume the right information and then you apply the tools that you're given and you put the action steps in place to move forward in whatever area of your life that you're feeling stuck in. So don't get consumed in that story. Realize that's all it is. And the answer is out there. The answer is written down out there somewhere. You just have to go and find it. Next question. Do you think we live in a fear culture designed to prevent us from achieving personal growth? This is a really interesting question because this is something I've been pondering for the last few months. And there's a little bit of an undercurrent in the new theme of, in the new book. It's a little bit of an undercurrent theme on unlearning versus learning. And I've been thinking about this a lot. And from January and February, I'm going to be researching, which will be my third book, which will be the new book, will be out in... new book, which will be out in probably 2021, 2022. It normally takes me about 6 months of research before I actually put pen to paper on a book. But this is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently. And the reason I bring up unlearning, and actually the language I use is like unfucking yourself, as opposed to like unlearning something. It's a very fucking Brian Keene language, but this is literally the language I use with myself when I'm thinking about it. And I think about fear is exactly that. I think fear is an evolutionary trait that we've designed and acquired over the years and serves an evolutionary purpose that kept us alive thousands of years ago when we were in the African savannah. But now it's just something that makes us fucking miserable. And also not being able to distinguish the difference between perceived fear and real fear, because they're two very different things. Like, real fear is I'm hanging over a cliff, I could potentially fucking splatter and die when I hit the ground. Or real fear is there's a snake right in front of me who's poisonous, and if he bites me, I'm dead. Like, that's real fear. Perceived fear is public speaking. It's like, shit, you know, what if I forget my words? Perceived fear is going up to that guy or girl in the bar and be like, what if they say no or they ignore me? I'll be embarrassed. Like, that's perceived fear. And distinguishing the difference between real fear and perceived fear can be very, very helpful. But I do think fear is a very beneficial thing to a degree. I think rewiring the way you see fear, like I use fear as a feedback on how to stay focused, like fear in the right quantities, like the danger's in the dose. Like, you know, it's a hormesis effect, that a danger's in the dose with fear, that if you get too much fear, it can paralyze you. And I spent a lot of my life, particularly my early life, early 20s, paralyzed by fear. Afraid to talk to the girl that I fancied, afraid to go for the job that I wanted, afraid to leave my job and start my own business, paralyzed by fear and crippled by the opinions of what other people would say. And that's all perceived fear, but I wasn't able to distinguish those two different things in my early 20s. And as a result, I would live in that fear. And I did the worst thing, which was fear disguised as practicality, where you'd wrap a nice story around your fear that, oh, it's not a good idea to leave a safe and secure job, not to leave a teaching job, which is what I did for 4 years, to start my own business, which isn't secure. You know, not realizing that that was fear disguised as practicality. I wrapped a practicality story around my fear of not wanting to leave my job because of the fear of the unknown of starting my own business. And I lived in that for years. And I never recognized it and never questioned it until I actually made the jump and realized that's fear disguised as practicality. That's just a story you've told yourself. And I think it's hardwired in our DNA because it's something that kept us alive thousands of years ago. But I think now in modern society, 2019, 2020, it's something that we haven't been able to distinguish the difference between perceived fear and real fear, myself included. And I think once you do that, I think everything opens up. And when you see fear as a positive thing, like, I've always been a long-time subscriber to the cliche that, you know, behind every fear is a person you want to be. Like, I make a lot of my decisions based on things that I'm afraid of within reason. Like, when I signed up to run 6 back-to-back marathons in the Sahara Desert in 2018, that was fear-driven because I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I can do that. I'm like, I've never ran a marathon before. I'm not really built like a runner. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But the fear was enough, and in the quantity that was enough, that made me train. It made me work out. It made me work towards my target self because I'm like, right now in August 2017, which is when I signed up for Marathon des Sables, and the race was going to be in April 2018, I'm like, I am not a person right now who's going to be able to run six back-to-back marathons in the Sahara Desert. How do I become that person? So that's what I did. I was like, my target self runs every day. My target self conditions themselves to the heat. My target self builds up a mindset that can handle things when they get really, really difficult. And I kept working towards that. But the fear drove that because I was afraid that what if I get out there and I can't finish the race? What if I get out there and there's snakes? What if I get out there and, you know, I've told everybody on social media and I've told my family and friends I'm doing this thing and then I'm not able to do it. I'm like, what happens in 10 years' time? And my daughter asked me, you know, you went out to the Sahara, why didn't you finish that race? I'm like, that fear was really positive because it drove me. But the quantity of fear is going to be key because in too much, it's going to fucking paralyze you. But in the right amount, it's an amazing driver. It's like fire, you know, like fear and fire are very similar. Like fire can heat up your entire house and keep you warm, but it can also burn the fucking thing down. Like fear is exactly the same. If you get it in the right amount, it can be very helpful towards making you do something that you don't really feel like doing, which at the end of the day is what success is. Like successful people do what they have to do, whether they feel like it or not. And I use that same metric. When I signed up for the Arctic to run 230 kilometers through the Arctic Circle line in February of this year, it was the same thing. I had this fear that now when I actually got to the Arctic, for those of you who've listened to episode, I think it's 230, where I actually tore my Achilles 86 kilometers from the end, the Arctic was a lot more difficult than I thought it would even be. But I still was afraid going out there because of all the potential things that could go wrong. And I'm running a 100-mile ultramarathon in the Jackpot 100 in Nevada in February. I signed up to a 100-mile ultramarathon because there's a little bit of a fear there on, I've never covered that distance in less than 24 hours. I'm like, I don't know if my body will physically get there. I was like, I'm pretty sure I can. And if I train for it, I'm pretty sure I can condition myself to do that. But there's enough fear there that forces me to train. And I've spoken about this on previous podcasts that like my hatred for fucking running. I hate running. Like, you know, I joked on several episodes, so apologies if you've heard me say this before, but like some of my best friends who are ultramarathon runners, they love running. Like it's their downtime. It's their release. It's the thing they look forward to all day. And I fucking hate it. Like every step on the treadmill until I step off, when I step outside the front door and run outside until I step back in, I hate every fucking moment of it. Like I love weight training, I love high intensity workouts, I love CrossFit style workouts, bodybuilding style workouts, strength and conditioning style workouts. I love that and I'll do that till the day I die, but I don't enjoy running. So I have to sign up to an event, particularly one that pushes me out of my comfort zone and gives me that little bit of fear that if I don't train for this, I'm not going to be able to complete it. Otherwise, I won't run. Like for me, it's just a self-awareness thing. I know I'm not going to run 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers at the end of my workouts if I haven't got an event that I'm training for. And that fear drives me. So I think fear, similar to the Rewire Fear section in the Rewire Your Mindset book, is about the way you see it and realizing that not all fear is created equal. Perceived fear and real fear are two different things. And if you can get that under control, like one of my mentors used to tell me, you know, tell me your relationship with fear and I'm going to tell you where you'll be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time. You know, something that I've since adapted to the habits that I use on this podcast. Tell me what you do every day and I'll tell you where you'll be in a year. She used to tell me that if you tell me your relationship with fear, I'm going to tell you where you'll be in 5 years. And it's true, because if you can get that under control, you know, it's like a dog, like a fucking Rottweiler. Like it can be very beneficial to have it if it's under your control, but it could also rip your face off if you don't have it under control. And I think fear is exactly the same. So get very clear on your relationship with it. And if it's serving you and you have a good relationship with it and it's the thing that's keeping you focused, then by all means, keep enhancing and putting fuel on that fire. But if fear is the thing that's stopping you, either because of fear of failure, fear of success, fear disguised as practicality, you need to arm yourself with tools to rewire the way you see that so that you can use it as something that serves you going forward as opposed to something that prevents you from achieving personal growth. Next question. Brian, why do you think enhanced bodybuilders claim natural rather than saying nothing? So this sounds like a very peculiar question to add into a mindset episode, but there's reason, there's method to the madness, which I'm going to explain now. So first and foremost, my opinion on this one is I don't really have a strong opinion. So enhanced bodybuilders, enhanced bikini girls, whatever you want to call it, people that use performance enhancing drugs to enhance their body, to enhance their performance in the gym, etc. And Natty Natural is someone that doesn't use any illegal performance enhancing drugs, just to give context to this for people unfamiliar with that. But the reason I bring this question into this particular podcast is something that I talk quite a lot about on my Instagram, and that is, it doesn't fucking matter what other people are doing. And every second you spend focusing on what other people are doing is seconds that you're not spending focusing on what you're doing. And this goes for people that are on social media. This goes for enhanced bodybuilders. This goes for models that you look up to. This goes for bikini athletes that you inspire to be like. It doesn't matter. Like, insert person that you look up to here. Unless you're getting inspiration from that person, and by all means, your social media feed, the people you follow online, some of them are going to be super inspiring, and by following them, you're getting a little bit of their inspiration. So they're either giving you massive education on you can do this, that, and the other that's going to help enhance your life, or they're living their lives, and by proxy, they're giving you inspiration because you're taking a little bit of their fire and using it to kind of light up your own home, to keep the analogy from earlier. But once that becomes negative, once that association and relationship with the other people becomes negative, in the case of, you know, why the fuck are people saying they're doing this when they're not doing that? Or why are people saying they're not using steroids when they are? Or why are people saying they don't have a boob job when they do? It's like, none of those things make any fucking impact on your life. None. Zero. And the reason I bring that up is because for me, I was someone that was so bad on this, and I was the worst. And I have to admit, like, in an embarrassing, like, it was one of my defaults that I would constantly question, one, people that were ahead of me, because it's ironic, because as you start to climb whatever version of ladder of success looks like for you, so when you've determined what success looks like for you and you start climbing that ladder up against the right wall, you start to notice that people who knock you are always behind you, and the people that are above you very rarely do. And that's not a coincidence. The reason for that is that the people above you, for the most part, are normally focused on themselves, and that's why they're above you. And I don't mean above you in the sense that they're a better person. That's not what I'm saying. That's not a value thing. Above you in the sense that they're closer to the goal that you're both striving for. And when you realize that when you focus on other people, it just shortens your journey. It just lengthens your journey to getting to your end goal. The analogy I like to use, and I think it works perfectly here, is if you're driving a car on the motorway and you're looking fucking left and right at the other cars to see what they're doing, see what they're driving, see how they're going, you're going to crash your fucking car. The best way to get from point A to point B, to get from Galway to Dublin, from New York to Chicago, from London to Birmingham, is to drive in a straight fucking line, keeping your eyes on the road. I.e., you focus on whatever your end goal is, and you're not looking around you what everybody else is doing. And why I think enhanced bodybuilders claim to be natural, same way as a lot of people lie. Like, there's probably a monetary reason. There might be an ego reason. There might be a self-esteem reason where people feel that they need to get their back packed. Their back patted by people in the social media world, and that's where they get their sense of security. Like, there's lots of reasons. But at the end of the day, none of that fucking matters to you because it doesn't move you forward in any meaningful way. So ask yourself, when you're doing that comparison syndrome, and I did it from my early 20s, I got a little bit better in my mid-20s and have consistently tried to iron this out as a personality flaw, where I was constantly comparing myself to other people, and then the people that were either ahead of me, either doing better in business, were bigger than me, they were leaner than me, I would go to that, they're on fucking steroids, sure. And that wasn't helpful. Like, that made me feel better in the moment, but that's loser mentality. And when I look back now, if I could go back to that younger self, I'd be like, stop thinking like a fucking loser. I'm like, because that's what that is. It's such an unsupportive thinking process that where you're putting the attention on somebody else, taking your eyes off your journey, it's not helping you become a better version of yourself. One of the reasons that I tell people to cull their social media feed is the people on your social media, the podcasts you listen to, but particularly things like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever platform you're primarily on, the people should be enhancing your life on there. They should be providing you education or helping you, give you tools that you can apply to improve your mindset, improve your health, improve your fitness, improve your business, whatever area of your life that's important to you. or they're providing some escapism. You know, I follow Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, I follow Lionel Messi. Like, people that are giving me escapism. I follow some of the Arsenal footballers, like, to see what they're at. I'm like, that has nothing to do with education. That's purely escapism for me, but it's serving me a purpose on my downtime where I'm like, you know, I don't really want to see what's going on in the politics of the world. I don't really care what Trump is doing, but I'm like, I wonder what Ronaldo's doing today. And so it serves a purpose. So get very clear on that. And as soon as that moves into a negative realm and you have a negative relationship or a negative association with that, then it's time to unfollow that person and cull your feed and realize that when you, even if you knew the answer, even if I could answer this categorically, this is why bodybuilders or this is why models claim this, that, or the other, regardless of what that is, this is why they say they use this, this is why they say they don't use that, what difference would that fucking make to my life or yours? It would make zero. And keep that in mind. The next time that comparison syndrome kicks in, where you start to compare yourself to other people, realize that if it's on social media, all you're seeing anyways is the highlight reel. You're seeing curated content that people want you to see. And I do this myself. If I'm having a bad day, it's why I've got my systems in place around social media. Because I'm aware that my mindset isn't strong enough, either now or may not ever be, but right now it definitely isn't strong enough. When I'm feeling tired and I'm not feeling very secure, or I'm having those doubt days, which everybody gets, I know I can't be on social media on those days. I can't be scrolling mindlessly through a feed because I'll instantly jump into comparison syndrome and then I end up feeling worse about myself. And that's not helpful at all. Like, I have something in my folder in my phone called my doubt day folder. It's just literally a folder of notes that people have sent me when somebody sends me an amazing message on the podcast or on Instagram or the book that you've helped me with this, that, or the other. And it's something that kind of just lights me up inside. You know, I put in, for those of you who've listened to the episode with Alistair Hart, you know, that last 2 minutes of the episode when he told me about his client that tried to kill themselves and then listened to my episode on dealing with mental health and it stopped them killing themselves. I'm like, that went straight into my doubt day folders. The days I'm feeling like, fuck, I'm not having any impact today. It's like, fuck, why am I even bothering? Like, and we all get those days. Like, you know, success isn't a linear path of up, 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 up. It's up, down, down, up, up, up. That's what happens. We all get those days. And I have that folder to reinforce that you're having a positive impact. And everybody has a version of that with their family members, with their friends, with their job. People have sent you nice messages because you've done something nice or you've done something kind or you've had an impact on them in a positive way. Save that somewhere you can feel it. So on those down days, that's what you're focusing on. What you focus on is what expands. You know, I spoke about in the episode Running Through the Arctic, 230, 231, the one I mentioned earlier, that when I tore my Achilles 86 kilometers from the end of that race, I couldn't focus on the pain. I'm like, the pain was too severe. It was shooting up my fucking spine. I'm like, I couldn't focus on that thought. So every time that thought of pain entered my head, I had to switch it to something else. I had to focus on left foot, right foot, keep moving, because what you focus on is what expands. That works in the physical realm if you're injured and you're focusing on that injury, and it also works in your mindset realm on, you know, your anxiety. If you keep telling yourself, man, I'm so anxious all the time, man, I'm so depressed, I'm like, yeah, of course that's going to fucking expand. That's what you're focusing on. So condition yourself to change that focus. It's not easy. It's the same as when you go to the gym for the first time. Like, you don't know how to squat, you don't know how to deadlift, you don't know how to bench press, but 6 months later you do, and 6 years later you're nearly a perfectionist or a master at it. Your mindset's exactly the same. It's difficult in the beginning to try and switch focus of thoughts, but as you get better with it and as you focus on the positive things and have some tools in your toolkit. You know, I've got certain podcasts that I listen to on days that I'm feeling down. You may have the same version. They might be mine, they might be others, where you're like, I'm feeling really anxious today, or I'm feeling really depressed today. And you go back and you listen to my podcast on dealing with mental health, or you listen to something else that got you out of that funk at one moment in time. Keep those tools, keep those resources at your disposal so that you can pull at them and use them as needed. My doubt day folder in my phone is one of them, podcasts that I saved or others, but you may have different versions, different books that you read, different people you follow that all help that. But find what works for you and realize that what you focus on is what expands. And if you focus on other people's journey and what they're doing, by proxy, it means you're not focusing on yourself, and that's what's going to expand. And then that comparison syndrome just tends to grow and grow and grow, and then you end up way worse off, similar to what I said earlier about the seed being planted, where 5 years down the line, you fucking compared yourself against everybody everybody else for the last 5 years, and now you're miserable and don't know what you need to do. It's like, catch that early. If you realize that that unsupportive habit that you have of comparing yourself to other people or worrying about what other people are doing, and you realize that that's not supporting you right now, you can change it. As I said earlier, if you're not happy with where you are and you're not happy with how you're thinking, you can move. You're not a tree. So just get the right tools in place. Get the right attitude in place. Get your perspective lined up and realize that when you're worried about everybody else, it means that you're not worried about you, which means you're not going to get to your end goal and you're only going to be focusing on the wrong things. Okay, last question. Brian, how to overcome the thoughts of work taking over your life? Okay, this question really connected with me because I spoke about this in the new book, Rewire Your Mindset, about my predisposition or my... I tend to get a little bit obsessed, for the lack of a better term. I'm very type A in terms that some of the struggles that other people have getting something off the ground initially, and that analysis by paralysis isn't something that generally affects me that much, but taking that to its conclusion means that when I start something new and I get obsessed in it, I can get very consumed by it. And work is exactly the same. In the book Rewire Your Mindset, I spoke about when I was competing. So in 2015, 2014, when I won my pro card in fitness modeling, just meaning that I could compete in competitive fitness modeling shows for money, and I was preparing for the Worlds in the WBFF Worlds in Las Vegas in 2015, that all-encompassing obsession led to me taking other things in my life for granted. Meaning that other areas like my family, my friends, my daughter, Holly was only a few months old at that stage. I got to that show and I came eighth in that show. So I came top 10 in the world in that show and I did relatively well. And I remember having this super hollow feeling where I'd finished eighth in the world, and it's a horrible feeling to have hit your end goal and have done really well in what you set out to achieve and then feel like you've got nobody to call to tell. And that's what happened to me in 2015. I remember being like, I was on top of the world 5 minutes after I came off stage. And then I remember thinking, I have no one to call. I was like, I have nobody to tell this good news to. And something that I use now in 2019, 2020, I'm like, you can tell a lot by a person by when you get good news, who's the first person you want to tell. And now I'm in a very fortunate position. You know, I always call my mom, I call my sister, I call my best friend. And I've got people I can turn to, and when I get good news and I'm so excited and you just want to share it with somebody, I have that now. But I also have the contrast point of when that didn't happen. And for me, it came down to I was so focused on this one thing that I took other areas of my life for granted. But again, like everything, future success, the tree of future success is born out of the seed of failure. And I created my four quadrant formula, which I mentioned on this podcast. It's a full section at my Rewire Your Mindset seminar, and it's chapter 2 in the book, the four quadrants: health, wealth, love, and fulfillment. So health, my physical health, my mental health, my health, wealth, my bank account, not worrying about paying bills, my love, my personal relationships, romantic relationships, familial relationships, and fulfillment, my job. So making sure that I'm tap dancing to work every day and that I'm loving what I'm doing. And I go back and I score those 1 out of 10. At the beginning, it was every week and then it went to every month and now it's every quarter or so, where I'll check in with that and see where I'm at. You know, it's the same as your bank account. Like, sometimes your bank account is higher than others, sometimes it's lower than others. And I can look at my health, wealth, love, and fulfillment and go, right, I'm an 8 out of 10 here, I'm a 5 out of 10 here, I'm an 8 out of 10 here, I'm an 8 out of 10 here. Right, I need to bring up my finances this month, or I need to bring up my health this month, or I need to put more focus into my family this month. And it gives you a metric to pull back to realize that when you put all your time and energy and focus into one quadrant, that's what's going to expand, and of course that's what's going to grow. But it can also come at the cost of the other ones dropping off. So what it sounds like from the person who sent in the question, how to overcome the thoughts of work taking over your life, a lot of that is just bringing conscious awareness to the fact that you're putting all your focus into either this wealth quadrant or the fulfillment quadrant if you love what you're doing. And that is going to come at the expense of other things if you don't put some energy and time and focus into those things. And what happened to me in 2015 was I'd put all of my focus into my physique, into my body, into everything to do with that show. and it came at the cost of not having anyone to call when I came off stage. And that hollow feeling, like, it's a horrible feeling. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, that you're like, fuck, I put all this time, energy, and effort. I spoke about it briefly in the first book about ladder up against the wrong wall. When I was teaching, something similar happened, that I spent 4 years getting a degree, tried to land my first job, and then got my first teaching job and was like, fuck, I hate this job. And I came up with the ladder against the wrong wall syndrome, you know, that you're better to be halfway up the ladder, or the bottom of the ladder against the right wall, i.e. bottom of the ladder against the thing you want to do, the relationship, the job, the body, than at, you know, halfway or at the top of the ladder against the wrong wall. And it's the exact same thing, but the four quadrant formula came off the back of that. And what I would implore you to do, if you feel that you're in an area of your life where one thing is taking too much focus, where your body is taking too much focus right now, your job is taking too much focus right now, your family is taking too much focus right now, whatever it is taking too much focus, realize that the happiness for most people and fulfillment for most people comes when you get that balance right. Of course, life is going to happen, and there's going to be times when you have to skew it one way or the other. You know, if you're preparing for a marathon, you're going to be putting more time and energy into that than you might be with your job or with your family. Just make sure that when the marathon's over, you now spend more time with your family, or you get your work commitments done. You know, like, life is going to ebb and flow, and the key is to not beat yourself up when you fall off track with it, because that's what happens. When I was writing the Rewire Your Mindset book, my other quadrants, my fulfillment quadrant was really high. It was at a 9 or a 10, because I was thinking this book is really going to help people, or I was hoping this book would really help people, but it came at the expense of my training. For me, it was my training. And that meant that I couldn't sign up for an ultra marathon, or I couldn't sign up for an event while I was writing the book. So I ran through the Arctic, and then once I got back from the Arctic in February, I went into full book editing mode for 3 months after. Now, it also helped that I tore my Achilles and couldn't train properly anyways, but that was more a coincidence than luck than anything. But it was intentional. I knew when I came back, I wanted to spend more time with my family, and I wanted to get my book done, and my training was going to take the expense of that, because I'd been training 2-3 hours a day in the lead up to the Arctic, trying to prepare for that, and that was coming at the expenses of other areas of my life. Don't beat yourself up if that happens. Just realize that unless you have some formula, and I like my four quadrant formula for me, you might have another version of that. You know, fitness, finance, family, whatever you want to put on it. Health, wealth, love, and fulfillment is my one. Make sure that you have some form of metric that you are keeping yourself accountable with, or a life coach, or a friend, or a family member, or somebody else is keeping you accountable for, so that you don't get this work taking over. And I get it, you know, as somebody, and I have a section on the book, I'm not going to bring it up here because I'll be repeating myself for those of you who read it, you know, in 2015, 2016, when my business started to really explode, when I brought and hired my mum, and I thought I was the bee's knees and thought I was the best fucking son on the planet. And then, you know, several months later, when she was like, when I wasn't talking, I was in really foul mood because I was working all the time, and she thought it was because of her. And it wasn't, it was just I was being a miserable cunt because I was overworked and overstressed and didn't know how to handle that and wasn't able to handle that. And she offered to go back working her real job. And I just got this massive penny drop moment, an aha moment, that it's like your family members and friends don't give a shit how many followers you have. They don't care how many zeros there are in your bank account. They want their son. They want their brother. They want their friend. They want their father. You know, they want their son. That's it. That's what they want. And I had been so misaligned on that because I never really thought about it, because I was so hammered in the day-to-day focus of earning X amount, earning X amount, earning X amount, you know. And it was just, you know, definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I did the same thing when I was competing in bodybuilding, and then I did the same thing in business when I was striving for this X amount in my bank account, not realizing that, you know, you bang your head up against the wall so often, you're eventually going to wonder, well, why is my head hurting? It's like, well, maybe stop banging it against the fucking wall. And that's what happened. It was the same thing happening in a different area. And that was the first time that I realized I was just following the same pattern, just reprinted in another area of my life. I had moved it from bodybuilding and competitive fitness modeling into business. And it got me clear on what was valuable to me. And I, again, by far from fucking perfect, you know, it's something that I don't think people strive for but never hit. But at least you're better than you were. And I'm happier to look back now and realize that I have a better relationship with my mom, my sister, my best friends, my daughter, the people who are the closest to me, because I was able to acknowledge when I was being a dick. I was able to acknowledge that I wasn't showing up the way I was supposed to be. And that's difficult in the beginning. And you're not happy with that. It comes back to the own it, control it, change your philosophy that I speak about a lot. You know, you have to take responsibility and own it. And that's easy when it's not something like you're being a shit son, or you're being a shit dad, or you're being a bit shit best friend, or you're being a shit brother. Like, nobody wants to take ownership of that. Nobody wants to take responsibility of that. You know, if you're a daughter, if you're a sister, if you're a wife, it's the same thing. But that's what the goal is. The goal is taking responsibility and empowering yourself by realizing that, right, I'm here. I'm not showing up the way I'm supposed to be. That's fine. This is my starting point. Where do I want to go from here? And then you start putting the daily action steps in place that help to nourish that relationship. And the same thing goes for your job. Same thing goes for your fitness. Same thing goes for your health. It goes towards everything. You know, like, the grass isn't greener on the other side. You know, something I've spoken about in previous podcasts. The grass is always greener on the side that you look after. And that's what happens. It's not the new job. It's not the next training program. It's not this, that, or the other. The side that's going to grow and the side that's going to be green and the part of your life that's going to flourish and is the part that you nourish. It's going to be the part that you put the time, energy, and focus into. And that four quadrant formula can help you do that. So I would either check out maybe the book, check out the other previous podcasts on the four quadrant formula, check out the Rewire Your Mindset seminar, or come up with your version of that that connects with you so that you don't become overcome the thoughts of work and it takes over your entire life. Because what you don't want to have happen is in 5 years' time, you've just gone on life on autopilot and you look back and go, fuck, you've left this wake of destruction behind you. Terrible relationships, you know, out of shape, stressed out, but you're striving at work because you let everything else go on autopilot for the last 5 years and you just put everything into your work, which is great. And it will look from the outside like you're doing really well in your job. But at what cost? When you can have it all, I would always try and have it all. Health, wealth, love, and fulfillment. You can do it all. At times, some will take more priority than others. That's fine. But don't let it come at the cost of everything suffering just because you're trying to hit this one goal of work taking over and then everything in your life is shit because of it. That's everything from today's podcast. So Mindset Q&A, so solo episode. So you've been listening to me for 50 minutes or so. So thank you if you've gotten this far. As always, if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are feeling really, it's the Christmas season, 16th of December. It's like nearly Christmas. If you're feeling really merry, if you're feeling really Merry Christmas, if you're feeling really Christmassy, is that a word? Anyways, if you're feeling really generous, please go and give the podcast a rating. Wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, etc., Podbean, wherever it is, please give it a rating. Please subscribe. And as always, if you enjoyed what you listened to here, be sure to take a screenshot of the podcast and tag me on Instagram, Brian_Keen_Fitness. Have an amazing Christmas. There's one more episode coming before Christmas next week. And then I'll catch you all in the new year.